This episode is with Jeff Wittenbach, what he did while he was in the United States Navy Seabees. The previous episode or the next episode, depending on how you listen to this, has everything to do with VA home loans and home inspections and stuff that he does now. But this episode is what he did while he was on active duty. So thank you for your service, Jeff, and everybody else serving or have served in the past. God bless you guys. And let's get on this podcast. All right. Yeah, out there it looks like Mad Men. You got the whole liquor cabinet going on. So this is going to be part two or part one, depending on how you listen to this. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
Jeff Wittenbach.
Jeff is, we already did half this podcast once. It was basically about what you do now, which is?
Mortgage loan originator, do mortgages.
Mortgage, what he said. And then, but before that, you know, you did 20 years in the Navy Seabees.
Yep.
You know, so where are you from originally?
Seattle, Washington. Well, Seattle, Marysville, Washington, about 40 minutes north of Seattle.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah. So you're not one of those bandwagoners that just wears like Seattle stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that do that. Like, where are you from? I'm from Genoa, Iowa. Bro, come on. Where are you? Well, okay, that's a hall pass because they don't really have a football team. Yeah. I'm from Chicago. Well, why are you wearing Seattle stuff, you know? So I get people in like Nebraska and Iowa where they don't have a they don't have a team. So I get that, you know.
As I'm wearing my Dodger shirt,
you know? Doyers, yeah. Gotta love the Doyers. It's funny because the other day we were both at the same game, and you know I was just up a tier higher than you. What made you go in the United States Navy?
Just kind of like, you know, everybody else. 18 years old, kind of, you know, lost, didn't know, you know what I was going to do. You know, people were going to college, people were going to work, and big influence. You know, my dad was Navy at the time too. So,
oh, cool.
He's retired MAC,
but he was like active duty.
Yeah, active duty at the time, and he still did 2 years. He was only in about 2 years before he retired. 9/11 happened. He was an MA during, you know, 9/11.
Yeah, so, they kept so it that was yeah. like we had to start off as a different rate and then cross over because I mean now 9/11 made it so that you can come in automatically as a cop.
Yeah, but now he was a. His, you know, thing was he was an ABF or ABE.
Okay.
Some
aviation bosun, mate, fueler. All right.
And then made second, and then cross-rated to MA.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But
especially you know, if you have a job like that, you know, some people have a lot of pride in it, and that's cool. Yeah. Some people, fuck no. You know, I loved construction, so I loved the Seabees. Mm-hmm. You know, but some people, they chose to go be an MA, or some were boots to badges, or not bees to badges, is what it was called. You know, like. Stimson, prior guest on the podcast, he was, you know, so that's cool. And then did you like want to be a CB or?
So I didn't, you know, just like everybody else, and nobody knew what CBs were.
Right. You know, it's so funny, right?
0.5% or 1%, you know what I mean? It gets even smaller than that. But, you know, I go to MEPS, and, you know, this is where my old man helped me out a lot.
Was he with you?
No, so he was on deployment, I think, but we called him. So I'm at the class.
Oh, in the classifier's office. Yeah, okay.
Classifier. And they're offering me like YN, QM. Yeah. And I'm like, nobody knows what these rates are, right?
Right.
And then my dad's like, hey, you know, what's a YN? He's like, no. You know, what's a QM? He's like, no. You know, what's a boatswain's mate? He's like, fuck no. You know, like, he's like, no. And then he's like, put the guy on the phone, right? And I was like, hey, he wants to talk to you. And he was like, I don't know what was said. And then gave him back. And then he was like, I was like, Dad, what's a BU? And then he was like, they're offering you CBs?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And like, he's like, oh, yeah, that's you all day. You'll really like it. You know,
hell yeah.
Like, and he kind of put, like, kind of gave me that avenue. It was like, hey, this is what they do. And, you know, the 30-second conversation was like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. So that's how I became a CB. So
I was like, I wanted to be a HT because I wanted, you know, I want to be a welder and plumbing. You can always be a plumber forever. And everybody's like, it's so gross. You be a plumber. You got to taste shit. And I'm like, my dad was a fucking worked at a sewer plant. My grandpa worked at a sewer plant. My little brother works at, you know, a water treatment plant. You know, and it's just like, that's a part of my life. It's turd chasing. I don't mind. And then HT was full. And but steelworker. Mainly, I wanted to be a welder.
Yeah.
They pulled steelworker up, and I'm like, what the fuck's a CB? And then after that, you do all that. Like, I'm sure you did too. You just did.
Read the little blurb.
Yeah, you go in the rabbit hole, you read the one page, and you're like, oh, this looks awesome, man. So I'm taking it. You went to Gulfport, but you went to Great Lakes for boot camp. What year was that?
01, so August 14th, 01.
Okay.
Joined, and then, you know, for 2 months after that, went to A school in Gulfport, Mississippi, you know?
Yeah.
It's like every other builder, SW.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Did you 2 months there for three months there, and then, yeah, then after that?
Did my 2 months there, and then got orders to CBU 405. In North Island, California.
Okay, where's that? Where's North Island by?
San Diego. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the fucking. Coronado.
Coronado.
Yeah. I always fuck that up because I always think North Island is somewhere far away. But you know, you can tell I didn't spend much time in San Diego.
But they merged. I wasn't there for the merger. I left after they. You know, they're all CBMUs now.
Yeah.
Most of the CBs know what I'm talking about, but yeah. You know, I was at a CB before. You know, small little command. You know, 25 people, give or take, you know, have a warrant as an AOIC, you know, senior chief AOIC, you know, very small. So that's where I credit a lot of my CB knowledge is I just went to the job site every day for 2 years. So
yeah.
did bathroom renovations and did, you know, a lot of block projects and seawall. And like with it, we did a lot of good work there. And there was always a project. There was always doing something there. So
he's probably out, but... Did you know Derek Schmitty?
Schmitty.
Yeah, he probably was out before that. But yeah, he was like my first crew leader in 5. Yeah. And then he went from there and went to 405. Mm. And then after that, he started his own company, you know, down in San Diego. And anyways, okay, cool. How was that work out for you? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was fun. You know, yeah. Got to, you know, it sucked. I was in San Diego when I was 18 and, you know, really couldn't live it up like
you do.
A lot of nightlife stuff, but you know,
it could be worse. You know what I mean? It could have been like Fort Hood.
Yeah,
you know, like everybody goes there when they're 18 years old. Oh my god!
But yeah, did 2 years there, then went to MCB 4. Did, you know, 5 years in 4.
So what years were you in 4?
4 from like 2004 to like 2009, 2003, 2009. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah,
that was like Iraq shit, man.
Yeah. So what went? First deployment was Spain, Albania. Did a DFT to Albania.
What was Albania like?
It was cool, man. It was, you know, third world country. A lot of people I still talk to today are on that deployment.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, you know, Kevin Holtzel, you know, I call him my life partner.
Nice.
You know, but he was on that debt. So
what'd you guys have to do in Albania?
There was a school. There's a school and then two bathrooms and then the road project on the we stayed at the Albania naval base. And then pushed out to Valor, and then the on their base built like a school.
Nice, man.
So it was a good time, man. I really enjoyed it. So good work, and it was broke up the monotony of the deployment.
Love that. Yeah, I love that, dude.
You know, hang out in Spain for a month, kind of get ready to go. You know, go knock out that for 3 months, and then come back to Spain. And then it was cool because it was like, oh, they're Albania, like just leave them alone. So we weren't like. Kind of assigned anything when we got back, so it was cool. It's like,
yeah, for people, really good. Yeah. For people who don't know, it's like CBs usually have like a main body site, and that's where like a majority of the CBs are. There's also details that are permanent, you know, so like you'll spend 7 months in Iwakuni or something like that, but they also have like DF detachment for training and also regular detachments as well. And one of my favorite deployments, I don't say my favorite, but one of my favorites was Puerto Rico, because I got to Puerto Rico and then I ended up going to Honduras, you know, building a school. And then when you come back, you know, it just breaks up that monotony. Plus me and another steelworker, we were building fucking a fence line for the DEA in Viegas Island. They come back, you know, go over there and then come right back. And I love when you can break up the monotony of one deployment, because, you know, it just makes time go so much faster because you have these different goals instead of like 7 months or 6 months or 8, whatever. It's just like, okay, in 2 weeks I got to go here, in 2 weeks I got to go there, and, you know, in another month I got to do there, you know. So that's what I love about Iraq too.
Yeah.
Fob hopping, because you're doing one job here and the next thing you know, you're in the middle of nowhere fixing a road, getting shot at and mortared. And then the next thing you know, you're just, you know, filling an air conditioner like stand so they can have air conditioners. And then, you did that. What was your next deployment?
To Iraq. All right.
What part?
Northern in Kirkuk area.
Okay.
So Northern, I did the detainee op stuff. So we're
all right.
NP Naval Provisional Detainee Battalion was, so they took, it was kind of when we always done IAs, but this is kind of when they brought back IAs. So basically our air debt was tasked with a big IA job. So we spent, 100 CBs to form MPDP, so Naval Provisional Detainee Battalion.
Right.
And that's where a lot of mastered arms, a lot of just random rates kind of.
Dude, I had an AE. He was one of my recruits, mm-hmm. and he took an IA job to Buka. I think it was Camp Buka. Yep. It was the prison down there. Mm-hmm. And, and it had been crazy because you guys get mortars coming in every day. And
so not so much.
Not up there then?
Yeah, not in Kirk. So Kirkuk, it was I'm getting old and forgetting. Kirkuk, that whole area is controlled by the Kurds.
Oh, okay.
So like northern Iraq. So they didn't really, did a pretty good job on policing themselves and kind of didn't like outsiders in their area.
Perfect.
So they're very, yeah. So we didn't really get a lot. Kirkuk was kind of dangerous, but northern, we're probably 40 minutes north in Fort Seuss. That's where the prison was. So
okay.
Where we were. And then we did end up breaking down and then sending, when we got there, we sent, probably another 100 people down to reinforce Buka when we got to Seuss.
Well, you stayed up top the whole time then? That's cool. Was that your entire deployment right there?
Yeah, the whole time, yeah. Pretty much did back and forth, did a lot of prisoner transports, or they're not really prisoners, but detainees, or call them PUCs, personnel under control. So. That was different, seeing
those. Yeah.
Did a lot of strip searches, Let's get weird. Yeah. But it was,
You ever watch that Three Kings? Did you find any ass maps?
Yeah. But, that was different. And then, what did I do? After that, went to San Nicolas Island, way far away, right?
Yeah.
For 6 months out there, right?
It's spoiled. Yeah. Bright, breaking rocks and blowing stuff up. And
I built a PEB out there.
Okay.
So I built a 4-bay PEB. This is what happens when you leave CBs alone. There's no micromanage it.
Yeah.
I did this PEB.
PEBs. Pre-engineered buildings, for those who don't know, it's like, they're mostly warehouses or barracks or, berthing or garages. But pre-engineered buildings, big building comes in the kit.
Yeah. So I did the whole thing like 5 weeks.
Nice.
Everything slapped it up. There's nothing else to do. And, it was an awesome schedule since, we can take the bird back. So we worked like 10 days in a row to get 3 days off, during the week. So maybe a full long work weeks,
right?
But you got 3 days off, to come back.
As well.
So we left Tuesday morning, come back for 3 days, and come back Thursday night, Friday. And that would be their liberty or downtime. But and then anything else, we'd be working, right? So we'd work, 10 days in a row, 11 days, and there was nothing else to do, right? So I just worked and just kind of slapped this thing together. And we had two, at the time we had two B1, I was a B2, we had two B1s as an OIC and AOIC, so it was very, very chill, laid back.
I love those kind of debts, man. Just, so nice.
I did that, and,
Actually, I have somebody, I won't mention names because I don't know if they'd appreciate it, but anyways, I have somebody that's there right now. As a matter of fact, I sent some stickers out to them, and they sent me a picture back, and that was like, every once in a while, I'll post that picture because it's got like a water jug and an excavator in the background. Oh. And it's like, oh, this is cool, man. So right in the front, it's got that sticker, right? For those that don't know. It's got this sticker right here. And then, the excavator in the background. St. Nicholas Island, man. Oh. They still ain't messing around,
But a lot of cool stuff goes on that island. A lot of people, the average civilian, doesn't know about.
No, it's good training ground. Yeah. And
So every missile in the U.S. arsenal has been tested on that island. So we did help them out moving all the conics boxes on the back of the island. They do all the missile testing.
Yeah.
90% of the time, there's a frigate out there. Working with all the missile testing. There's a whole other hangar out there for the guys that come and go. That we don't see.
Yeah,
but it's cool. What was cool is they do a lot of you know, classified stuff out there. And us being stupid CBs, they don't want us around.
Right? Of course. And, until they need something fixed, they're like, hey, this is super secret.
Yeah.
Wait, can you guys send four people over to fix the thing?
So our AC isn't working in this classified area. Nicktown, right, where like everybody stays, and then you got the airfield on the other side of the base. But if the rope was up, like to go get our equipment, if the rope was up, we did automatically did a 12 o'clock muster. You're off that morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't even go out. So like we'd go to work, everything up, go to that, the line would be up, be like, and then there'll be like some MA3 there, like right in the gate, and he was like, just shake us off, and then we couldn't go down, couldn't get our stuff. So it was like,
oh darn. Looks like we're playing Xbox. Yep, playing, go back, what else are we gonna do?
Hang out, 12 o'clock muster, see if normally they're done. But some cool stuff out there was they gave us a heads up. So, you know, MA1 would come around and be like, hey, everybody's got to go to the rooms by 5 o'clock. Nobody can come out till the next morning, right? And they're really serious. Like, nobody can come out. And you can hear, like, the drones and, you know, the aircraft flying around out there.
Right.
I remember being in my room, getting locked in the room, and then the next morning pulling up my Yahoo page. And then the very front page was like, lights and UFOs over Channel Islands. You know? And I was like, yeah.
I love that shit, man. I remember like being in the barracks. This is fucking like late 90s. And being in the barracks and then going outside and just looked like this cool colors all over the sky. And it was like some rocket that blew up. But it wasn't like a bomb. It was just that they're testing something and it just left all these cool things. Everybody that took pictures this is back in film days, you know, this is film, like the disposable cameras. Everybody's disposable camera, for some reason, didn't develop those pictures when you took them to the next to get them developed. All right. But if you took them out in town, you got those pictures back. That's funny. St. Nick, man. So after, how long did you do that one? That was like six months?
Yeah, 6 months, 7 months. So, yeah. And then went to Cuba after that. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, went to...
do another detainee thing or what?
No, did
thank God.
Yeah, did we're a couple big bridge out there, and then did two case vans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, two case vans, and then did I did work at the detainee area, just for the maintenance. I did all their maintenance stuff, just like anything else. And it's like, hey, we need this built, and can you do this? And they were trying to hook us up a little bit, because if you work there. Just like anything else, you're in there a day, you get the whole month tax free.
Oh yeah, right? So that's fucking awesome, dude.
You know, the danger pay, hazard duty. I forgot what exactly we were getting, but you know, our chain of command did hook us up and try to rotate people through, so we get a couple extra $100 that month. To,
nice.
You know what I mean, go in there, hang a sheet of drywall. You know, so that was cool.
Yeah, I had a project, and there's a prison in Fallujah on the base. And there's like these big gates for Battle Square, like basically where your pay is, but they never used them, and it was far inside the camp, so I just stole them and I used them for the prison. Oh man, I miss that shit.
Yeah, still, technically acquired.
Acquired. Yeah. And then like I was staying back for a delayed party, you know, and I took over a couple projects, which really sucked because they weren't. The people that had it didn't do their fucking job. They took plywood and then they just nailed like the corners basically. So like we had to go back and, you know, fix it all up. So it looked like it was all up. So they were at some goal before they left.
Yeah.
So they could fucking leave, and they just left us all the shit. So we're fixing it all up. And then I'm not going to go in detail because I don't think I'm supposed to, but like, all the stuff inside the interrogation rooms. We had to build like the interrogation rooms and things and stuff. And, you know, that was kind of neat, you know.
Yeah, build them quiet rooms. What are they called? Quiet rooms?
Get quiet rooms, and they got weird angle rooms and small angle things. And
can't hear you scream.
You need those as a parent.
So.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe that's going too far.
Yeah. But what,
But children are terrorists. Yeah. But anyways, that's another story.
Yeah. But where are we at? Yeah, after that, so did four with four, and then I did three with three, and that's what I remember.
Oh, okay.
For deployments. And then went push boots for almost 4 years.
What was that like? What years were you?
Like 09 to like 2012, 13.
Okay.
So, I enjoyed it. You know, like
yeah.
Really, like it's a tough. You know, it is what everybody says is a tough job. Right, you get hours off, not days. Right. So
right.
You know, like. You really have to plan accordingly to, like, get your oil change, you know what I mean? Like, go to the grocery store, like, you know, stuff you take for granted, like,
yeah,
stuff like that. So, when you're on push, I treated it like, if you're on push, you're on push. There's nobody, like, it's you and three other guys, your partners, right? And that's it. There's nobody else. So, you know, somebody's got to turn on the lights, someone's got to turn them off, right? You're going to AB and, you know, they're yours. So, if you really, like, we talk about leadership and like guidance, and if you really want to do something and like really, you know, develop people, this is the perfect opportunity.
Like, so you would suggest pushing boots
and do it, because definitely. There's nobody else. There's like, you do have like, you know, if you're in a platoon and, you know, battalion, right, you're gonna have your influences, right, but it's only like, you know, sprinkles, right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Sprinkles here, hey, you help this guy out, you know what I mean? So some people start to know you, start asking advice, you're doing well in an area, you know what I mean? But like pushing boots, there's, you know, 88 people, you're the only person they're listening to. You're with them 90% of the day. Yeah, they go to class, but you're going to be there to pick them up, drop them off. And
you're their initial representation of the Navy, man. Yeah. So that's...
You're teaching them everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would mess with RDCs, and you're like, oh, the recruit, you know, messed up. I'm like, no, you didn't train them, right?
Because
like, there's a difference between, like, messing up and not being trained, and you didn't train them.
Yeah. That's one of the things, like, I noticed after I left boot camp, I didn't, you know, you just think it's all the way it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you have your snapshot from your boots, you know, your RDCs, or what are they called now? It's still RDCs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, RDCs, yeah.
So like what, and then, cause recruiting, they changed all the terminology, cause I was a recruiter for 3 years, all the terminology changed, but again, so it's still RDC. So that's cool. So, and I didn't realize until after I checked into five, you know, my first battalion in MCB five. And, I recognized a couple people. They weren't my RDCs, but they were RDCs I seen around.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like kind of like gun shy a little bit, like, fuck, man, don't hit me. You know what I mean? Like, or maybe I don't want to get yelled at. And then you start talking to them and they're like, yeah, because like my RDCs, they were all about looking good and marching. He's like, oh yeah, you had some marching motherfuckers. I didn't know that there was a big difference between people that just want to make look good and people actually are training their troops, you know? And I was like, wow, that's interesting, you know?
So... It was fun, you know, a good time, you know, just like, it was a good time in my life too. So people ask me, you know, like, I just got married. My wife is going to the University of Chicago. She was focused on her master's. I was focused on work. So it was a perfect time in my life, right? I have an 8 and 10 year old now. Really wouldn't be the best time for me to go right now. Or like, that's what I tell people, right? If you got a supportive wife, you got 2 kids and, you know, that's, you know, she's there to take care of the kids and you can go to work, you know what I mean? Like, hey, go do it. But, you know, if you got issues, and we all know people that have issues, that command is not for you. Like,
you're going to get
weed out.
That's going to consume so much of your time, you know, it's insane.
So, well, it was good. Yeah. And then went back to the town, went to 3. Did 3 with 3 and where'd I go? Yokosuka, Japan, Korea, and then Philippines.
Oh, okay, cool. Yokosuka, man. I dug Yokosuka. Yeah. It was beautiful, man. Yeah. I did a deployment to Atsugi, but Yokosuka was cool. What'd you think about working with the fleet and all that?
It was cool. So I spent a lot of, because my dad being in the Navy,
So you grew up with that.
Yeah.
So I spent
10 years there.
As a kid?
Yeah, as a kid.
No shit. Yeah.
So I spent a lot of
time there. That'd be really cool.
And then went back, I just went to his retirement. I was with Brandon Holkstra.
Yeah.
Yeah. So me and him.
That's where you and I met up.
Yeah. And I just went to his retirement. But, like, he was there AP, and I got their DP. But he was shocked, like, we're in the van. And I'm like, oh, over here's the A Club. Over here. I was just, like, telling him stuff before, you know, we even get there. I was like, oh, you go around this corner. There's a little mini mart over here. And he's like, how do you know all this? I'm like,
I spent.
Yeah. I was like, dude,
What ship was your dad on?
Blue Ridge, Ronnie M. Davis. Two ships and then 2 short. So he's an MA, so he basically went ship to shore, ship to shore. So he went to the ship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then went to sea face security on base, went to security on base, and then went to another ship, went back to security. You know what I mean?
It's easy to do it there. Yeah. It's so big, you know? And then, yeah.
And then, too, they, just like anything else, you know, they were short. People didn't want to go overseas, and he was there, and, like, we liked it, and my parents liked it, and just kind of like, hey, they offered me to go back to the ship. Do we want to stay here? And it's like, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? And kind of, they just went back and forth and spent, yeah. Actually spent 13 years total because they were in Misawa, Japan for 3 years, and then moved down to Yokosuka and did another 10 in Yokosuka.
You know? I just always remember the weather reports from Misawa.
Yeah, cold, yeah.
And hey, it's going to be over here. We're in Okinawa and we're surfing, and Misawa, we're fucking cold. Yeah.
So, yeah, fun times.
Was that it? Like three wasn't your last command, was it?
No. And then NCTC.
NCTC, yeah, okay.
And then did 3.5 years at NCTC. Yeah.
Cool. What year? Yeah. What years was NCTC?
What are we at now? 2022. So 19, 18 to 22. Yeah. 19, 22. Yeah.
Okay.
Or 21. Yeah. I just retired in October. So 3.5 years total. Man. That, yeah.
Goes by so quick.
Yeah. No, like, you sound like, sorry, you're old, man. But that was a great command too. Like, yeah.
We were there with was Rafael Miranda your skipper?
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome dude.
Yeah.
And he's gonna be a guest one of these days on here. Yeah. We're gonna nail him down.
For sure. But. Had Captain Miranda the skipper. He picked up Captain there. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Awesome guy. Good. Like nothing. What I tell people about NCTC, there's nothing important enough to stay past 4 o'clock. Right. So yeah. It's one of those commands where like. Like you're just kind of put up on this pedestal, and I don't know why, right? But it's just like you're at NCTC, right? Well, and this is like, there's nothing that important there.
Well, NCTC is awesome. Naval Construction Training Center. For those that don't know, it's basically where we go to further our rate and also to learn our rate. So like Gulfport has our A schools, and there's a lot of NCTC Naval Construction Training Centers that people go through A school for. For those dear listeners that don't know, But also it's like, and I know why it's valued. I always valued it. And the reason why being is because you guys are the keepers of the knowledge. You know what I mean? You guys are like, oh, you guys are sitting on the fucking cloud at the gates of knowledge. And that's one of the things too, is like whenever you can't really do it now because of the way things are structured and safety regulations and all that other shit. But I would go to NCTC if I had nothing going on sometimes, and I'd just go weld.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, man, you got a class going on? Can I get in that empty booth? You know, and I just burn some rods.
Yeah.
And then also, because there's different procedures and different ways to weld things and, you know, different types of metals and all that other stuff. So I would just go just to fucking, you know, just to burn some rod and hang out with some friends. Because that's another thing I love about us CBs, our community, is because we're so small that we constantly go to teach and then we go back to a battalion where you are teaching the people that are below you, but you're also learning new things. And I always love that fact that, you know, when people are at NCTC, these are people you probably served with before, you know, and that part's always like really cool. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of bullshit to worry about when you're over there.
So no troops, right? So like you have your class, right?
Unless you're like on the CM side of the house for the A schoolers, but
yeah.
But for you as a builder, you're just, you know, furthering people's education. Yep.
Builder, like, as a builder chief there, basically, like, my job was to, you know, keep those guys going, right? Do they have all the tools, equipment, everything they need, you know what I mean? And I was asking them, like, hey, what do you need to do better? You know what I mean? What are you missing? The, you know, see if I can help out. So,
hell yeah, man.
Yeah, it was fun. But, yeah, I taught, I first got there, I taught the QC class for a year. So I taught 3 classes in construction inspector and then moved over and then took over the builder squalls last 2 years. So that was fun. It was fun, you know, building all the dollhouses and seeing everybody's level of construction is different, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you can get that B1 at 18 years, right, that's been doing this, you know, a very long time that is just, you know, shouldn't even really be there, right? You know, doing a great job, knows everything. And then you got B2, you know, that just picked up second that hasn't done an deployment yet. Right.
Yeah. So like, and I remember like for us, we've seen that flip flop. Yeah. Like I came in 96 to 2016. So, you know, when I came in, it was 7 in, 7 out deployments. So you're constantly fucking deploying. Mm. Then you're coming back home and then you go. And I'm usually like the only steel worker. So I'm like showing up early and leaving late on deployments. And, then you went from that, the 7 in, 7 out, to post 9/11, where the deployment wasn't as frequent, but also you really weren't doing construction. So you have like a steel worker that's been in for like 6-8 years and they know how to convoy, you know, but that's it, you know, so like the trades kind of went away. And I think what really did an injustice to the Seabees was when they got rid of SCBATs, you know, special construction battalion training, which that was so good. Just having those extra schools just to get those, you know, but yeah, it's either here nor there. But that's one thing I thought was really cool about having NCTC there and having that in your pocket. Just go there, just do some, you know, pour some concrete, do whatever it is, build dollhouses, you know, do some small unit leadership over there. And I wish they'd incorporate that more into the battalions.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, funding and all that other fun stuff, and more power is bigger than myself. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
But yeah. No, it was awesome time there. And love the command. You don't love,
like, yeah.
Like it didn't get any easier than that. It really didn't. It was a truly 9-to-5. Like it, as much as you know, the military is it's not a 9-to-5. That gets down to basically that's a 9-to-5 job. That's as bit, you know, close as you're going to get in the military.
So
to having
as a CB, NCTC, and pushing boots, and sometime in your career, hit that up. You know, that'd be awesome.
But yeah. A little different, but that's where I retired at, and have a lot of good things to say.
If you could go back and tell a younger you, hey Jeff, what's up?
No,
what would you tell yourself?
Probably study more, man. Like, doing your builder right, just getting more, just probably reading more, reading more and studying more. Probably can do a little better on the advanced exam. That's it. That's for you.
Anything you want to put out there? Anything else? What's your number here?
My phone number?
Yeah.
805-512-0897.
Why would people want to call you?
Yeah, because I'm the mortgage loan originator.
Goddamn right you are.
So if you need a VA, so I'm only licensed in California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Colorado. So five
only.
States.
Okay.
Only, yeah. So what's good about me, good and bad about me, is I can originate in Iowa or Minnesota. But if you're getting out and you're trying to buy a house in Minnesota, you know, send me your documents and I can review them for you to see how bad or good, what they're offering you.
Yeah.
So I can look it over and kind of explain it and CB it for you, right? And break it down in layman's terms and be like, hey, ask them about this or that, and why are they charging you this? Seeing if you can get that waived. So.
Makes sense. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this stuff, because number one, like, I'm not buying a house anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Number two, I trust you. You know, there's like a lot of people that are on this side of the house where it's just like, I don't know. You know what I mean? You're going to say some shit that, you know, not you, but I'm saying they will say some shit that will fucking, you know, won't be kosher. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it's cool you're here now. And then it's just like you were with another company and you guys split off to do your own thing. Mm. I think that's pretty badass too. You know, it's pretty punk rock. You guys are like doing it your own way, you know?
I feel he broke up with me. I didn't break up with him.
Okay.
So he merged with the company. So being a broker and direct lender. So I kind of explained that a little bit too. So broker, I'm the broker. I'm going to broker your loan. So I'm going to shop your loan to whoever has the best deal.
Okay.
So him being a direct, he was a broker and he merged with another company and they became a direct lender. So with a direct lender, you're Quicken Loans, your Loan Depot, Navy Federal, you know, the couple of the big branch, they're direct lenders. So they have one product and that's it. So if you qualify for A, B, and Z, we can do it, right? But if you don't, if there's any little hiccups, right, they can't do it. So with me being a broker, I can, you know, there's so many different programs and so many different banks to go to that do different things. So I can shop your loan basically. So that's what we like. That's what I like being as a broker, not a direct lender.
Fuck yeah.
So
stuff I'll never understand.
Yeah.
And that's why I have friends like you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it gets fun.
Anything else you want to put out to the kiddies?
No, I think we're, yeah.
All right, man. Well, I guess we'll cut it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's my laptop or either yours, one of the two. Anyways, I guess for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I led, thanks for making me a better person. And remember, folks, keep your chin up, Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never forget, OB, that's me. Loves you. All right, we're out.